If you've got a Bible, open to 2 Kings tonight. I want to speak. I want to carry on from the message which was given last night, but I want to bring something extra to it. All the things that were said last night about fathering and honoring spiritual fathers is all real and it's all true and it's all important. But I felt like I wanted to add something tonight because there's a lot of talk about Holy Ghost anointing, being empowered. But one of the things we see in this passage, and we've got to understand, is that Elijah, who carried that mantle, who carried the anointing, when Elisha wanted, he said, it's a hard thing. It's not an easy thing. It's not an easy thing to carry the anointing of the Holy Spirit upon our lives. But we need it. Amen? Amen. And so I want to see, I want us to understand what was happening in this passage because often it's looked over. I want to talk about the places where Elijah took Elisha and what they meant. Because in these places, the Word of God says that we are a tested people and we will be tested. God tests us. He tests us to see whether we're hungry. He tests us to see whether we can walk in it. He tests us to see whether we have the character to carry it and the knowledge. And when Elijah was, he'd already picked Elisha to be his servant. And Elisha came the day where God said, I'm going to take Elijah up to heaven. He's going to be ascended. He's going up in a whirlwind. Elisha said to Elijah, you stay here. And Elijah went on from Gilgal to Bethel. And it's important we know why, because we don't have the full conversation, but we important to know why he took him to these places. And he took him to a place called Bethel. Bethel, in the scriptures, was famous for people having encounters with God. It's where Abraham encountered God. It's the word means the house of God, and Bethel was famous for the presence of God and divine encounter with God in the Holy Spirit. That's what it was famous for. But by the time Elijah got to this place, Jeroboam had defiled the place. So there was no presence anymore. It was defiled. It was fallen. And the city was evil and it was immoral. And everything around it was wicked. There was homosexuality, lust, and idolatry. And it was all because Bethel was no longer Bethel. Bethel was no longer the true house of God. It was no longer the place for the real presence of God. And instead, they had brought idolatry in. And Elijah says to Elisha, you want to be pastor here? You want to do something about it? You want to serve God? Because that's what he says to him. You stay. And I reckon at that time Elisha's mind went back. If you read 1 Kings, I think it's 13. There's a 1 Kings 13. There was a prophet, a previous prophet, probably a guy similar to Elisha, keen to serve. And it said he went there this by the word of the Lord. And he went to Jeroboam and he tried to confront the immorality and the sexual lust and all the problems and the idolatry in the city. And he came to Jeroboam to confront him, to do something about it. And if you follow the passage, the guy came under the power of the evil in the city. He lied and then he fell and then he was eaten by lion. And Elisha realizes, even if I have the word of God, even if I have the word of God, it's not enough to confront the darkness, the immorality, the homosexuality spirit. It's not enough. He says, I can't do it without having on my life that anointing, that spirit I see resting on Elijah's. But there's plenty of people that will try to do ministry, even just by the word alone. But Elisha said, I can't do it. And then he took him under to the Jericho. And Jericho, it actually translated as a place called pleasant, and it had been made pleasant because of the faith of the people of Israel. They had walked in there and they'd taken giants by faith. But when they get there, you read just a little bit later in this passage, you see this place called Pleasant is no longer pleasant. There's no grass, there's no nothing. It's all infertile. And the reason is because the stream there that fed the city is polluted. It's defiled. It's like the church, some parts of the church that are defiled because of the stream that is flowing to it. It's not the true, not the pure stream. And Elijah says to Elisha, you ought to do something about it. You ought to be pastor here. You ought to deal with a place where the waters have become defiled. You know, later on, he was able to deal with it. He took salt and he threw it in there, but not until he had the anointing. And he says, no, I don't. I don't want to do anything. I don't want the job. I don't want the role until I got what's on your life. And then I don't want to preach long tonight because I just believe there's going to be a release here. There's in this place, both places, you see there's a school of 50 prophets. The school of 50 prophets, they say, the sons of the prophets here at Jericho came to Elisha and said, do you know that the Lord will take away your master from over you today? So he answered, yes, I know, but keep silent. And there's in that answer, there's kind of an answer from Elisha that I'm not part of you. Keep silent. I don't want to hear what you've got to say. I know what you've said, but I don't want to hear what you've got to say, because they're like 50 students who have got knowledge. They got theology. They got the history of revival. They got the history of the books on the Holy Spirit. And they're saying to him, we know something. You know, they got like a theology of ascension. They understand the history of ascension, but they don't understand it. What's happening? And you see they don't understand fully. They've got a little bit of knowledge. They say, you know, your master's going today. They think he's going to die. But you see they don't have real knowledge, because later on in verse 16, they said to him, after Elisha had gone into the ascension, they said, look now, there are 50 strong men with your servants. Let them go and stretch for your master, search for your master. Let perhaps the Spirit of the Lord has, taken him up and cast him upon some mountain in the valley. And he said, you shall not send anyone. So these guys are students who think they know something. They actually think they know God. They think they know the ways of God. And they actually think they're moving in the power of the Holy Spirit. There's a partial gift there happening. There's something prophetic happening. But it's not. It's not the real. It's not the fullness. Like a lot of people today. They move in a little bit of the spirit. They move into the soul. And they're absolutely convinced that soul power is spirit power. And Elisha looks at these guys. He says, I don't want to just be silent. I don't want to be part of you either. You're not the answer. And he goes on. And he goes on. And he goes on. And I want to tell you, Elijah says to him, I know what you're after now. When they get, he's been through all the tests to Gilgal, to Bethel, to Jericho, been through the 50 school of prophets. When they cross the Jordan, that's always the place where a man, always at the Jordan, is where a place where Holy Spirit encounter and transformation takes place. It's where the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jesus. It's where Israel got victory when they crossed the Jordan. It represents fullness. It represents the victory. It represents the true work of the Spirit. And so when they came and they crossed over, Elijah said, what may I do for you before I'm taken away from you? And he said, please let a double portion of your spirit be upon me. So he said, you've asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if you see me, when I'm taken from you, it shall be for you. I've often wondered about that passage. If you see me when I'm taken from you, it will be for you. But if you look away and you miss it, you'll get nothing. And I think, how could that be? You served this guy for 10 years, and all of a sudden he's looking in the wrong direction. He's going to get nothing. I don't think that's I don't think that's what it means at all. He says, if you see me when I am taken. In other words, if you see me taken, then you'll get it. If you see me that I am no more, I'm gone. The Elijah here is gone, and now I'm the answer. You'll get it. We don't want to write books about past heroes and just write memorials, because that's what half the church and half the world does. He says you've got to see that if you want it, you're going to get it. You've got to be the solution. You've got to be God's man for the future. You've got to be the one that does miracles. You've got to be the one that preaches the gospel in power. You've got to be the one that heals the sick. You've got to actually say, I don't care about what comes the path. I don't care what I'm here. I'm here to get it, and I'm going to be the man. That's not ego, but that's saying, I'm going to take the responsibility and say, I'm God's man for the hour. And you know what he had to do to get this? I know some people will teach you that if I have the anointing, I can impart it to you. I want to tell you, you can't get someone's anointing. It's not theirs to give you. It's the anointing of the Holy Spirit. It's for God to give. You don't get it by following a man. All that stuff about honoring spiritual fathers, it's all true. But what this represents is Elisha is following heart. He wants to be where the true work of God is. He wants to be, he's following hard because on Elijah is the presence of God. It's not about a man. Through Elijah comes the word of God. I tell you, what you've got to follow is not a man, but you've got to follow the presence of God. You've got to say, wherever the presence of God, you want the anointing, wherever the presence of Jesus, I'm going to be there. Wherever I hear the true word of God, I'm going to be there. That's how you get it. And David says, my soul follows hard after him. How to get the anointing is to follow wherever the presence of God is, you pay the price. Even if you get offended, you're there because that's where the presence is. Where the true word of God is, that's where you are. Like the 12 got it because they said, everyone else is offended, but we're here because you got the word. Staying in that place is not easy. It's not easy. But there's no other place to get the anointing. There's no other place. There's no other way, and you do not get it by following a man. You cannot receive it from him. The trouble is, you can receive his spirit, but not the Holy Spirit. Someone says, I'll impart to you but the spirit. He can impart to you his spirit, but he can't impart the Holy Spirit because that is God's to give. So he said, he followed hard. Not a man, but he followed where the work of the Spirit was. He followed where the true work of God is. And you know what happened the next? If you actually understand, if you really come here tonight and you actually want to serve God, you really want to be empowered so that sin in your life is no longer there. You have victory over it. And I want to tell you, there is a way to walk in white. It's not arrogance, but there's a way to walk above sin. I've struggled with sin in the past, and it's been totally, totally destroyed. So it actually has no power anymore. But what destroys that is the anointing. The anointing breaks the yoke. There's only one way to walk in white. It's through the power of God. If you want to be someone who God really uses this generation, I want to tell you, Elisha, he looked at the darkness in Bethel. He looked at the homosexuality. He looked at lust. He looked at the idolatry. He looked at the state of the church or the presence where the presence of God was supposed to be. He looked at it all. And I want to tell you, what he looked at is nothing compared to what we're looking at today. It's nothing. What we're looking at today, the immorality, the defilement, the darkness, is nothing. And I tell you what, the only way you're going to be effective in this world, the only way you're going to reach the world if you want to reach it, the only way your word is going to have an effective when you speak it to someone is if the presence of God is upon your life. You have the anointing and you need a double portion. But God is here tonight and he's pleased to give it. I tell you, there is a time of increase. There's a place of re-anointing here today for people. Because you know how you get it? I tell you how you get it. With Elisha. With Elisha. It wasn't about a man. But he looked at where the presence of God rested, and he heard where the real word of God was. And he said, I don't want to be any other place. And I want it. I want. I need it because I'm his servant, but I know I cannot do God's work. It's real humility. I can't do anything for the city. I can't do anything for Jericho. I can't do anything with those other prophets who are just all about theology and head knowledge. I can't do anything until I have what's upon Elijah's life. Until I get that anointing, I'm not going to be useful for anyone. That was his understanding. And you know, Jesus said the same thing. He said, don't do anything. Don't do anything till you have this experience and you know when you've had it. When the Spirit of God has come upon your life and your life has been empowered, because it's not by might, not by power, not by spirit. He didn't say to the 12, you know, after the ascension, go in and get a degree. He didn't say go and study books. He didn't say get the internet and figure out all this stuff. He said, wait, don't do anything till you receive power. Power. And you know what Elisha did? What he received. There was no feeling. Picked up the mantle and he said these words. He said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? In other words, I don't feel anything. I don't feel anything. But by faith, I know it's come upon me. And that he used it. He used it, and the waters parted to great surprise. You know why the book of Acts was written? It nearly didn't get written because they stood in Jerusalem for 5 years. But the book of Acts was written because somebody finally acted. When you've received, if we act upon it, the Spirit of God then came upon. They then saw, the prophet saw the Spirit of God on Elijah. If you're an evangelist, you come to a meeting like this, but you're not going to see the work of the Spirit upon your life. You're not going to see miracles. You're not going to see the blind have their eyes healed or the deaf have their ears healed. You're not going to see anything until you actually use what you've been given. Because the anointing is not to sit, it's to be used. And so he used it. I tell you what, there is a portion, there is a season of increase. It's not my words, it's just what God is saying in this. And people know, people sense there's a shift in the spirit in 2017, and you don't want to miss it. You don't want to miss what God is offering. Some of you have contended, you've been through stuff. You've wanted the things of God, but you've had to battle and fight. I want to tell you, this is the time. This is a prophetic hour of increase and anointing for God's people. I want to get the praise and worship team back up here now. I want people to stand. I want people to stand. And this is between you and God. I ask you a question here tonight. Do you want to be used of God? Do you want to be used of God in this generation? Do you want God? Some people, you can think about that question, that before you answer, think of it. Do I want to be used? In other words, do I want to get up from a life of TV and a life of living like everybody else? Think about it. Do you want to serve the Lord? Do you want to witness to your friends? Do you want to preach Jesus at work? Do you want to preach him in the marketplace? Do you want to live for him? Do you want your life to be a witness for him? When people see you, they say, he's a Christian, she's a Christian. Do you want to do that? Do you want to impact the darkness in this nation? I mean it. Do you want to impact it? Do you want to come against it and make a difference? Do you recognize that books and reading the internet and all the head knowledge in the world ain't going to make one iota of difference, because it's not by might, it's not by power, it's by my spirit, says the Lord. Don't answer lightly. Do you understand that? Have you got the knowledge of that? Have you come to the place where you realize, like Elisha did, that all ministry is a waste of time, an absolute waste of time, unless it's empowered by the Holy Spirit? But the Holy Spirit can turn you into a dynamo. He turned 12 men into men that turned the world upside down. I want to tell you, there is a move coming out of this nation. There's a move coming out of Australia that's going to turn the whole world upside down. It's not a cheap anointing. It's not a funny anointing. It's an anointing that brings people to their knees and aware of their sin and brings true salvation. It's an anointing of holiness and righteousness. And the final question is, how hungry are you? How hungry? How desperate are you to get in the presence of Jesus every day? I want to tell you, I know people that have got it. They rise every day at 3 a.m. They don't want the distraction of the world, but they have a time just in the presence with the Word and His presence. I want to tell you, those people are dripping with oil. Those people have an unction on them for miracles, real power. I've got to get out of the way. God's going to release it tonight. If you want, I want you to come forward and line up here tonight. If you want to serve Him, you want the Spirit of God to come upon your life, I'm going to lay hands on you tonight, and the anointing is going to hit you. The anointing is going to rest upon your life. If you have agreed with everything I said today, because God is just looking for not ability, just availability.